there. But Bradford is full of remarkable people, and I love it a bit. So for me to have written a book that's really about a love story of that I've had with Bradford and the wonderful people I've met and extraordinary things that I've been involved with, it's just extraordinary. This evening I'm going to read you a little bit, because I've never done a book reading thing before, but apparently that's what you do, you read a bit from your book. And then I'll want to ask you to ask me some questions, because I respond better under pressure. So we'll do that, and then there'll be a chance to sign and read and buy books and whatever you need to do then. Is that all right? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I was, in terms of getting this book started, I wasn't intending, I'm not a writer, I'm an activist. If my mum was here now, she'd be very, very proud, but she would never have thought that someone had written of a book. We come from very humble stock. When I left school without any qualifications at all. I was a milkman for a little while, and then I went back and did some O-levels. And the whole process for me of becoming a priest, becoming a social worker first, and then a priest, and now an author, is just extraordinary. It's wonderful. But I think that the book, because of that, is not a great literary piece. I don't want you to think it's going to be like the guy who's above me, number two. Is it Kazu Isiguro or something? It's not a great literary piece, but it's full of stories. And it's really about trying to say that the church needs to be more relevant to the culture of our time. I was very frustrated as I became more political, that I felt that the church often lagged behind and failed to see what everyone else could see. There was injustices around, and we wanted the church to be at the heart of it. I'm very privileged in Bradford that we had a bishop, David James, who allowed me to come into the city centre and be experimental. Experimental with you lot. Many of you have been to my services will know that it's a little bit different, a little bit unusual. And we're very lucky to be in a city that's allowed that to happen. But I'm going to read a little bit from the introduction, and then I'll tell a story from one of the chapters. There's a drink there somewhere. It's not a good start. You know, I was so nervous. I speak publicly all the time, you know, but I'm so nervous about tonight. My analyst said I should imagine you all naked. But that doesn't help, actually, in many ways. In fact, it makes things much, much worse. Right. There are many occasions as a priest when you feel ill-prepared for the kinds of challenges that the 21st century throws up at you. I was considering this as I lay hidden behind a dense bush, my heart pounding. The zombies were fast approaching, staggering alongside the high-security fence of the nuclear facility. I gripped a pillow tightly in both hands and nodded silently to another priest who also lay hidden behind a hedge. We waited until the zombies' moans were nearly upon us before lunging athletically upon the undead enemy. So here I was outside a nuclear base, engaged in a fierce pillow fight with the hordes from hell. Nothing at theological college had prepared me for this. The military facility was, of course, Aldermaston Atomic Weapons Establishment. The undead were actually members of the Woodcraft folk who were mocking the government's spending on nuclear weapons by dressing up as zombies and singing their support for a future apocalypse. Why waste good money on the NHS, they said, when we're already dead? The pillows were used to attack the grey-faced young folk and the pillows were adorned with peace symbols. One read, "Pillow fighting is the only sane form of conflict." We had decided to demonstrate the stupidity of war by holding this pillow fight during the 2010 blockade of the Aldermaston base. At one entrance gate, several members of Soul Space, our church in Bradford, were lying in the road, their hands glued together to form a human chain. This had successfully managed to stop vehicles from entering the base for work. At other gates, bishops, Quakers, and other faith groups united to pray and chant, while C&D members found inventive ways of blocking access to the entrances.